That defense authorization bill for 2017 is just steps away from becoming law. That means some layoffs will be coming for employees in the Defense Department. Federal News Radio Scott Massioni joins me with a breakdown of what those employees can expect from this bill. Scott, sounds like on the whole this is not good news for the federal DOD workforce.
That's right. Yeah, the DOD employees are probably going to be losing a good bit of their capital and jobs here soon. The bill itself is already passed, basically. All they need is the president's signature. The House and the Senate have both passed this bill with a veto-proof majority. So it would be pretty bad for the president's capital if he were to veto this and then just get it overrun again.
That's right. The last I counted, he signed one of the big bills, the 21st Century Cures Act, yesterday. So that means, or the day before yesterday, so there were 13 more bills on his desk at that time, according to the White House. So this one will be maybe get it back up to 14 and maybe a couple more after that. How many people do you think the NDAA could actually affect?
We're not exactly sure of the total numbers because DOD is not sure of the total numbers of people it actually employs. So within the headquarters, they say it could be 5,000 to 7,000 people, but the Defense Authorization Act is trying to cut that number down because Congress thinks that DOD is just wasting money. They're constantly, you know, hiring these contractors to do jobs that military could do. And, you know, there was this new Washington Post report that came out that said there's $125 billion that could have been saved over 5 years from DOD, which they're claiming has been hidden. But that's debatable at this point.
All right. So that means 5,000 people could be let go eventually under this.
Well, you know, they're not going to completely get rid of the headquarters staff, but there's also the senior executive service, which is also supposed to be cut by 25%. The National Security Council, which gives the president all of the information he needs on intelligence every day, is going to be cut down to 150 people. But you have to keep in mind that a lot of these cuts aren't going to be happening until 2020, 2022. Another spot that's going to be cut is general and flag officers. Those are the officers that are in charge of big programs. They're in charge of certain agencies. They want to cut those by 25% as well by 2022. And that'll bring it down to 110 billets within the military.
These are not new ideas, really. They sound as if they play into some of the noise we've heard coming from the Trump administration, the signals it's handing out with respect to the costs of various programs and so forth. But really, cutting headquarters staff and reducing the numbers there and increasing the efficiency goes back a couple of secretaries of defense, doesn't it?
That's right. And the Defense Department is already cutting their headquarters staff by 25%. Up until 2020. That's their goal to do that. They did that without Congress's mandate because they just saw it coming. They said, we're bloated already. People from the Defense Business Board, Michelle Flournoy, who's the former Secretary of Defense for Policy, she's been talking about this for years. So DOD recognizes it has a problem, but at the same time, it's saying Congress is giving us a lot of things to do, and we don't have enough people to do it always.
So fewer general officers and also fewer SES members, it looks like.
Right, right. And without those SES members especially and headquarters staff, DOD has trouble with its acquisition reforms that it's given by Congress. In the new NDAA, the 2017 one, there's over 100 provisions changing acquisition reforms.
Yes, they had to go to the alphabet after they ran out of
right.
899 there, I guess, number 899. And that's about 230 pages, I've been told. I haven't read them all, but there are a lot there. What does that say about the ability to get that work done?
The acting Secretary of Personnel and Readiness, Peter Levine, he says that DOD needs those people to make these laws get into action, to actually sit down, look at the laws, see how they're going to be implemented, promulgated, and made into something that actually matters, and not just taking this language that comes from a bill, putting it in the FARs, and then making whoever is trying to, whatever program manager is looking at it, try and interpret it and figure out what's going on. But basically, he says they can't do that in 1 year with only a certain amount of people, especially when these people are cut every year.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's DOD reporter Scott Massioni. Getting to the bigger picture of the military services, what does the NDAA generally authorize in terms of the military services? Shrinking, growing, stasis?
Well, when it comes to civilian status, a lot of the positions are cut. The Secretary of the Army, Secretary of Navy, and Secretary of the Air Force, they're getting some of their headquarters staff cut. But in the larger scheme of things, it's bringing, with the Republicans at least, it's bringing more active duty military in, more quote-unquote readiness. But, you know, they're bringing the the Army was supposed to have drawn down this next year. They're now bringing that up to 475,000 active duty military. And Eric Fanning, who's the current secretary.
That's the Army.
That's the Army, yes. But also the Marine Corps is getting an extra, I think, 8,000. And the Air Force is also getting an extra couple thousand. So it's going up. But some of these secretaries that are at least currently in office are saying, we can't give enough money to train these people. We can't, don't have enough readiness. We don't have enough capability to handle the amount of people that we're trying to ramp up to at this point. So it's becoming a hollow readiness.
Yeah, I was going to ask that. Do you get the sense that members of the Appropriations Committees and the Armed Services Committees understand the life cycle cost of a billet? Because it's not just the direct salary to that person and the training costs, but the life cycle costs are many multiples, I imagine, of their salaries. Does DOD have a handle on it that doesn't somehow get transmitted to members of Congress?
I think that's very possible, and it comes with, you know, standing on that kind of soapbox that Congress does, or getting what they need for their district, the parochial interests. And they can't always stop and say, we want to give more troops. We want more troops. We want more posturing out in the United States. But we also need to take in more taxes at the same time so we can pay for that. And, you know, it's going to cost at least $1 or 2 extra billion a year to maintain these extra troops. That's a cost that they don't really tell everyone about.
Because they often talk about the tooth to tail ratio, and you want fewer and fewer people in the back serving the people on the front. But the people on the front have a cost. If you have those people deployed or active duty, there are still nevertheless really major costs that go with them and on through their careers, however long that might be. And it sounds like nobody's taking that into account, so that results in a large force that might be hollow.
Sure. And, you know, the Trump administration has been saying that they want to add an extra $100 billion or so to the Defense Department. Whether that's warranted or not, that all depends on how the Defense Department actually spends that money and, you know, how much they can actually save, you know, how much of this is really getting wasted. So we'll see how much they'll kind of fill in that hollowness of the force. But as of right now, the way things are looking and how the appropriators are appropriating, it's looking pretty hollow.
And if there is an NDAA that the president signs, and there will be one, we just don't know precisely when he's going to sign it, but presumably it will be in the next couple of weeks, there's still a continuing resolution. So there's an overhang of the 2017 NDAA versus what is being appropriated. Any view of how that's going to be made up?
Well, you know, the Defense Department's been saying for years that they can't plan ahead, and they still don't have the option to plan ahead at this point. You know, even though they are getting extra money, the extra money they're getting isn't even going to be going to affect till April, at least if they can pass something. So until then, they don't get any New START programs, and any kind of military that they do ramp up doesn't happen until at least April.
What a way to run a grocery store. Federal News Radio's Scott Massioni, thanks for that update.
Thank you.
You can read not one but two of his stories online now at federalnewsradio.com. Still to come on Federal News Radio, a longtime procurement attorney walks us through some of the procurement provisions in that giant 2017 National Defense Authorization Bill. But first,